Hello, everyone. You're listening to Children Chatting with Authors. Today, we're going to be joined by author Jared Pratt and illustrator Jay Oden of the book Lemonade Code.
Hi, my name's Daniela. My question for both of you is, considering Lemonade Code is set in the future and has a lot of cool science, I was wondering what books, TV shows, or movies set in the future inspired you guys or that you really loved watching growing up?
Oh, that's a great question. So I say Star Wars, but that's really in a time a long, long ago, not really in the future. So I like Back to the Future. That was a heavy kind of thing when I think about future things. I like Ray Kurzweil, who is not a book that takes place in the future, but he's a theoretical scientist, and he talks a lot about quantum physics and the singularity. So that was he was a pretty big influence. He had a really deep book about what might happen in the year 2047 as technology kind of goes through the law of accelerating returns and like basically technology is at a point where it's kind of doubling every year. And so that thing is like the graph is just going straight up. So what things might look like in 20 years is kind of almost inconceivable that we think now. So I would say that was some of the bigger science-based things. I mean, Blade Runner was a big one. I guess The Matrix took place in the future and the present, because in The Matrix, so it's a little iffy. Matrix was a big one. And I hope that's enough. I just want to say, too, Daniela, you have an awesome voice. I hope you look in the voice recording. You have an awesome voice.
Thank you.
I think Jared said it all. I would say also maybe The Jetsons. Yeah, that was really cartoony. I didn't really pull from any reference from any future show I had seen, as a kid. I kind of just already had what I envisioned, and then I just kind of looked at, whatever the script was and kind of did the best I could. So I'm glad I met the expectation that Jared had for me. So it worked out. It was good. It was good.
Thank you.
So this is a question for both of you. By the way, my name is Miles. What inspired you to make fairy flies?
Fairy flies. Okay, Mr. Smiles. I would say I just wanted something that was miniature because through the story, kind of building up like it was going to be this big deal. So I honestly just went through Google and found out what the smallest insects were. And then when I heard of fairy flies, I'm like, I have never actually heard of these things in my life. And they're the smallest insect in history. And I thought that'd be just a cool thing to show that technology has been able to shrink down to such a small size by being able to replicate the smallest insect.
And, when I was drawing them, he gave me like a diagram kind of, so I kind of just mechanized to that and made that look like a, robot. And then I, at the very end, I remember we had a talk at the very end where all of the fairy flies come together and there's that gigantic fairy fly. I remember after I had already drawn the scene, Jared had said that, he thought that I was going to just draw like a really big one. He didn't know that I would just kind of like draw every single one of them piled up together. I had a lot of fun, drawing them. It was a really cool enemy, I guess, per se, to, draw. And all of those panels. It was really, really cool.
To see that you can have a vision in your mind that looked a certain way, to me, it was just like this hulking monster. But he took the time to like draw individual swarm. I actually think that's the better choice. And that's just one of those things, the collaboration that come out just from this guy being so gifted at what he does. Look, I already told him you were the reason for the book's success.
Yeah, that's cool. Nice. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Micah, and my question for Jared is, how did you first get into writing and making up stories? And my question for Jay is, how did you get into drawing and becoming an illustrator?
I got into writing when I was really young. I used to have just a lot of toy collections, so I'm a little older, so I'd have all the G.I. Joe toys or Transformers or all the Star Wars and Super Friends toys, and I would want to do these epic battles. So I would just start writing out the epic battles and just been writing stories since then, pretty much. But as a career, I probably didn't take it serious until like 2015. But I've written the whole time. I've always had like a circle of writers and people I could share the writing with.
Yeah, just like Jared, you know, I've been drawing since I was really young. I was like 6 years old when I first started drawing. My brother used to draw as well. And he was kind of like a rival of mine. So I would draw something, he would draw something, I would try to impress him, and then, you know, he would tell me that I was stupid. He was my older brother. So but you know, no, it was just, you know, it was awesome just to draw. I learned a lot from him. You know, I met my mentor through him, and we were all like you know, really close. We went to the same school. You know, he was like 10 years older than me, so like he knew already a lot about comic books in general. So he had been teaching me since I was like 10 years old. So by the time I had gotten to college, I had known a lot about drawing comic books and illustrating and all of that other stuff. And I don't just draw comic books. I also write. I have my own series. It's called Hammer. It's currently being serialized and published in this magazine called Saturday AM. So, I mean, you know, I do that. And, you know, I also, you know, draw comics like when, you know, Jared, luckily, you know, I know he says in the last time we talked just now, you know, he said that I was the reason for the success of this book. But I mean, had he not written the script, it wouldn't have happened. So, I mean, I'm very happy that, you know, Jared was able to, you know, have that script and I was able to draw it and, you know, make that come out the way it did. But I've been drawing ever since I was six. So, like, I'm just really happy that, you know, it's finally gotten to this point. But it takes a really long time. So, but yeah, you know, that's what I do.
My name is Leia, and I have a question for both of you. Why did you want Robbie to be a mad scientist?
Oh, well, I knew I wanted the story to take place into the future because there's been a lot of kids' books about maybe Lemonade Stand, face-offs, and war. So I was like, a nice twist on it will be set in the future. And it kind of really just came from there. Once I knew it was in the future, I wanted a character that you could really kind of dive into the technology with. So being a mad, it was a scientist or a mad scientist. And the mad scientist part was just because, you know, Robbie's kind of the antagonist. He's kind of, I figured, you know, he's kind of like a Lex Luthor kind of type. So it was better make him a mad scientist because you can get more jokes out of
him. Yeah. And it was actually really fun to, you know, have him do all these poses like he's a mad scientist and point at you and all this other stuff. So that was really cool. And I agree, you know, him being the antagonist to Daphne, because Daphne is, you know, I assume, you know, yeah, she's a kid, but, you know, she's like the angel according to, like, you know, their relationship. Like, you know, Robbie was not as nice as she was. So, you know, it worked out, you know, having him be a mad scientist. I thought that was really funny.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Adeline. So why do you want to do it about lemonade?
Well, it's my favorite drink in the entire world. So, and I never got to have a lemonade stand when I was a kid. So this was a nice way to have a lemonade stand vicariously, I guess, like even though I'm old and write about it. And then I wanted a familiar story because I knew it was going to take place in the future. And I wanted a entryway into the story that would seem familiar to people. And I thought people could really relate to a lemonade stand. I had some other ideas. There was going to be a robot in like a beauty show, but I didn't think that would be as I didn't think that'd be as compelling as just seeing two kids on the street corner, especially being able to show a futuristic setting and still narrow the story down to the street corner and something so familiar. I thought that was a good way to kind of ground the story and not let it get too far out of hand with like the sci-fi way.
My name is Theron. And my question is this story related to you guys?
Not to me personally. I guess I know some kids like Robbie. So it was an easy character to write. Well, I know kids like both characters, like Robbie and Daphne. So they were pretty easy to write. I would say maybe as far as single mom relationship with Dr. Mom, my parents got divorced pretty early. And even before then, my dad was a little absentee-ish. So that relationship was probably drawn heavily on things like just knowing how it is being a single mom and having kids. I had brothers and stuff, though, so it wasn't just me.
And yeah, you know, I have a brother, you know, I said that earlier. But, you know, yeah, we have a single mom. My dad was around, you know, he came every other weekend. So, you know, but I definitely had that relationship in terms of, you know, drawing this comic and trying to make the situations relatable, like facial expressions wise, like, you know, how would, you know, this, you know, their body language be if this happened or this situation happened, like, you know, how would that work out? So I always, I thought about all those situations, you know, to try to like translate inside, you know, try to translate that into my comic book work. But other than that, you know, no, I, you know, unfortunately never had a lemonade stand. I've always, I always wanted one. I thought that would be really cool. I love lemonade as well. It's definitely one of my favorite drinks. So that's always really nice. Yeah, you know, I unfortunately never had this grand of an adventure when I was a kid, but I, you know, definitely had a lot of fun drawing it. I got to live through this character. So it was really cool.
Hi, my name is Avery, and my question for both of you is, how did you get the idea to make the lemon contest, like lemon and
Well, like we were talking about, definitely love lemonade, any kind of lemonade, actually. Like, I'm a sucker for lemonade. Just throw it on the menu, I'm buying. I'm buying it. So, yeah, so that was pretty much the, and then, again, just the idea of, wanted to do something familiar. I thought a lemonade, so a lemonade stand kind of story would be pretty good with all the future stuff. But love lemonade. Blueberry lemonade is my favorite. I wish I could try some of the, well, I don't want to try all the wild flavors from the graphic novel, but I wish there was a machine where you could just try any flavor of lemonade. That'd be great.
That would be pretty cool.
That'd be really cool.
my favorite lemonade is other than the blueberry lemonade, because they're simply, that brand of lemonade is amazing. They're blueberry. They also have strawberry and raspberry as well. But Chick-fil-A lemonade, it's amazing. I don't know why Chick-fil-A lemonade. Well, I mean, Chick-fil-A in general is just delicious. But I mean, their lemonade is just phenomenal. So yeah.
Hi, my name is Nicholas, and my question for you is, how did you get the idea for Robbie?
Yeah, I knew, even though I knew I was writing a kid's book. So this was an idea I had a long time ago, I should say. It was like a newspaper strip idea I had before I submitted to Oni Press. And so a lot of storylines, I had different storylines for it. And for to submit it to Oni Press, I just kind of had to take a certain storyline, which would be a little bit different if you did it in a newspaper, which is a daily strip, and expand it out into a large story. So, I think the original idea came from me and my cousin just passing ideas back and forth. And I knew I wanted to write from the viewpoint of the antagonist. You know, it's something you see in adult novels a little bit more, but you don't see it as often in kids' novels. And I thought it's interesting to write from that perspective and see if you can make the antagonist kind of redeemable, you know? And so that was pretty much the whole idea behind it. So that's where it started. As far as the rest of the thing, I just kind of based him on kind of kids I've known. I've known kids like Robbie, and sometimes they can be amped up in that way, just a little bit misunderstood. They can take just a little bit more grace and a little bit more understanding to really get to the core who them are, but they're not really bad kids. You know, sometimes they just get wrapped up, especially if you deal with a kid that is exceptionally smart. Sometimes all the logic and everything kind of gets in the way of like just basic human empathy and emotion. And I wanted to show like this doesn't make the character necessarily good or bad without sliding into having to delve too much into like maybe making the character autistic, explaining it in a different way, but still. So that was basically the gist of it. Great question, man. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Cyrus. And my question is, why did you name the characters like that name? Like, why did you choose those names?
Oh, okay. Well, originally it was called R&D, the Lemonade Co., but we dropped the R&D. But yeah, it was originally named R&D, and so our characters were all going to be male. Every important R character would start with a male character would start with an L. Every important female character start with a D. So you get like Daphne, Dr. Mama, Dolores. And on the R side, you get like Robbie, Researcher. And his dad is in there if you just look for any other character that has nothing to do with the story with the name R. And so that was like a little code that was built into it. And from there, I just kind of went with a name that I thought a kid, like for rap, for Robbie, it was more about if a having a kiddie version, an adult version of a name, so you can have a kid who wants to be older and be like, no, I'm Robert, but the mother be like, Robbie. So that just seemed to fit. And then for Daphne Durie, I wanted her to be, because she's kind of a magical, mysterious character. Again, I just went to Google. I looked up Korean last names because I only knew one Korean last name that started with a D, and I didn't want to use that one. So I looked up another one, and that there's not many people named Durie in South Korea or North Korea. It's a very rare name. There's some questions around it, so I thought that fit the mysterious nature of a character kind of showing up out the blue and blowing the whole spot up.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, my name is Leia, and I have a question. So, why did you want Robbie to have a black eye?
Violence was something I wanted to address a certain way in the book. That's why the kind of the end scene with the fairy flash is like a song and dance kind of number. One of the things I was trying to do with the book without saying it, I guess, too upfront was that, you know, maybe violence isn't always the answer. So I wanted the act of violence in there to be kind of, well, one's not his fault, one's kind of his fault. And so, but even the character feels horrible about it happening. And so I think that's it. And then plus I thought it was just kind of cool for the first page to be this character with a black eye. There's a movie that I don't think anybody would have seen that called Election. And in Election, there's a high school girl that runs. You saw it before? Great movie. And so kind of the same thing that happened to Robbie is what happened in the movie. The principal kept trying to, there's an overachieving girl that wanted to be high school president, and the principal kept trying to make sure she couldn't be president. He just had a grudge against her for no reason. Just thought she was a little conceited, I guess. And so every time he tried to sabotage her, he would suffer the consequences. And that was something I kind of wanted to show about Robbie's bad behavior, is that every time he actually tries to do the wrong thing, he suffers consequences, except for the one act when the bully hits. But that was kind of my way of trying to say that even if you kind of like this character, you know, he definitely went about it the wrong way. He suffered the consequences of his act. So.
Yeah, and it was actually really fun to draw a black eye. It was just, you know, really, really cool. I didn't want to make it look too painful, but I did want it to look comical at the same time. So I figured just a big circle with a line in it. You know, but yeah.
That's, the second way you drew it, Jay, when kind of falling through the page, you know, like, yeah, that was another way in which you reinterpret it. I'm like, that came out really cool. That came out really cool. The longest pass out sequence in comic book.
Yes, yes. When I was reading the script, you know, I was envisioning like a double page spread, and then I realized that it actually wasn't a double page spread. So I was like, okay, well, let me see if I can do something else that, you know, would still be really cool. And you know, that's what came up. So I'm glad it came out well enough for it to be, you know, not confusing when you're reading, because that was like one of the biggest things that I was trying to, like, you know, make sure I didn't do. Like, I never want to confuse anybody when they read my comics. So that was a very difficult thing to do, but it was very fun. And drawing his black eye, just, I don't know, it was very fun every panel after that. So,
hi, my name is Micah, and this question is for both of you. What are your plans on this series? Are you going to make some new books, or if not, what are what other do you plan to create?
Good question. Jay, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So, first off, when it comes to Lemonade Code, you know, me and Jared have talked. You know, we were totally down to do a volume two. You know, I guess we will see what happens in the future. Right now, it's a very busy time for me, and I, you know, remember in one of our last podcasts, Jared was telling me that he was working on stuff as well. But for me in particular, drawing the comics and stuff, like, I am currently working on like 5 projects, which is a good thing, you know, just because I, you know, love drawing comics, and, you know, it's finally becoming more of my career. So I'm very happy. Always follow your dream, kids. It can come true. it takes a long time, so just keep that in mind. But it can come true. So, but there's the series that I'm currently working on. It's actually my series. It's called Hammer. It's about this kid who gets sucked into his father's journal, and he's trying to find a way out, but he can't, and he's like trying to like fight all these monsters while turning any part of his body into a hammer. He's just, you know, trying to survive. And you know, the company that I'm, you know, getting that published with, first off, we have an app which we update every month with a new magazine issue. We're on like issue 135 of that magazine, and we have two other magazines. One's on issue 4, the other one's on issue 13. So obviously those got started a lot later. But so I'm working on, you know, something like that. I'm currently working on another script that's about to be sent in to me. I've been talking to one of the editors at Oni Press. There are two stories that I might be working on. And then there's also another book that I'm pitching as well to Oni Press that I believe everybody will enjoy it. You know, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody yet, but it's a pretty cool story. it's about just essentially a family going on an adventure, but you know, there's a little more to it, obviously. But yeah, so yeah, you know, hopefully you'll see more from me, you know, in the near future, definitely starting next year and stuff. But you know, when it comes to Lemonade Code, I would love to do one if at all possible within the next 5 years. I think that would be great to do for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with Jay. We talked about it. It's when the time's right. When the time's right, I hope we can get it done. I'm currently working on more prose as opposed to I'm not an artist. You know, again, this guy. Also, can I just say right here before I say what I'm working on? I owe this guy. I tell him every time we come on here, I have to give an apology because I wrote these huge crowd things. And normally, yes. people draw these crowd things, they will just you know, they'll draw one or two characters and they'll draw shadows in the background to kind of show the crowd. But he really individually went in and drew every character. And that kind of painstaking detail is just amazing. And it really makes the thing look like a comic book. And why I give him all the credit is because of that. Because even though I do like the story, like it's like a story I wrote, I don't think the story, if there was another artist on it that didn't put that detail into it, I honestly don't believe the book would have been as good as this. So that detail is amazing. You know what I'm saying? So I owe you an apology. I'll never do it to you again. So eliminate those no crowd things. But as far as projects, I worked on an audiobook, which was some old comedy sketches I wrote and just turned into an audiobook. That's more for adults, I guess. For young adults, I've been working on a story called 4004 BCE, which imagines like before modern society, things were futuristic and every myth kind of existed together. So just instead of like elves and fairies, you might have African myths, or you might have Japanese or Chinese myths, and they are just in this really futuristic city. So it's like a cyberpunk fantasy, I guess. And for kids, I have been working on something called Wild Culture, which is, I'm a big fan of Looney Tunes, which is another inspiration, I guess I should have said, for like Robbie. I consider Robbie Daffy Duck, and kind of consider Daffy like Bugs Bunny a little bit. It's like that dynamic. And so I've been working on this, which takes the character research. The dog in there, and the original version of it was a rapper instead of Daphne. The dog was, but then we took out all the talking animals, which was probably for the best. So I took that character, and so it's just a little story about a rapping Pomeranian, kind of business mogul bird, a DJ Mount, and a fashionista cat, and they all get together and they form like this cool little collective and go out into the entertainment / music industry. So I'm hoping it'll be good. I'm hoping to find a way to maybe even do some songs as the dog, especially since I didn't get booked for Lemonade Code with that.
Yeah, that would be a very fun series to look at. Rapping Pomeranian. I remember when I got the sheet of character descriptions, and originally he's right. It was going to be a walking Maine Coon. Yeah, it was a Maine Coon for Daphne, and I was like, man, this is a tall cat. And then there was the Pomeranian, and I remember I showed I drew the Pomeranian in like rap gear and like a chain, and I showed that to my wife, and she was like, "Oh my god!" So all of that to say is, I can only imagine how cute a rapping Pomeranian with a DJ mouse and like a fashionista, a cat, and all these other like that. That sounds awesome. That sounds really cool. Yeah, that's a good question. So I can actually change my style of drawing. A lot. And recently I've been drawing more and more in this cartoony, I like to coin the phrase, cartoony manga.
Hi, my name is Miles.
It still looks sort of like a Japanese like comic, but it's so cartoony and warped that you're just like, this is a cartoon though.
it doesn't make you immediately think
of just Japanese manga when you see this, especially since it's in color as well. So, having it in this art style is it's an art style that like I came up with, and I've been drawing my other series Hammer in, and volume one of that should be coming out soon. And I knew that when volume one of that comes out, Lemonade Code will be coming out, and I thought it would be a really cool thing to not only just let people know through I guess my art style that I have other books out. If you look at Hammer, then you'd be like, oh, wow, this looks kind of like Lemonade Code. And then you pick up Lemonade Code, and then there you go, I have two books. Or you pick Lemonade Code, and then you're like, oh, wow, this other book looks like that. So, like, that was one of the reasons why I had that art style. The other reason is, to play up all the comedy aspect. There's a lot of, movements with kids, and, with, for instance, Robbie tripping at the very end. It's really a lot easier to play up that comedy factor with the silliness of like his pose. And I couldn't necessarily do that as effectively if it was drawn realistically. It wouldn't like translate as well. So that's one of the main reasons why I chose this style to draw. But yeah, good question, man. That was cool.
My name is Lauren, and my first question is for Jared. Jared, I love Robbie so much. I know you say he's the antagonist. I love his personality. I love his temper tantrums. He was so hilarious. But I feel like you added this element with him and his relationship with his mom, Dr. Mama, that really made anyone that reads the book like him. And so did you write Robbie and Dr. Mama together? Did you think it through where you're like, I'm going to have their relationship be special and have his mom inspire him to also be a mad scientist and follow her in her footsteps to add some love to Robbie?
I did. I knew going in he was kind of a tough, abrasive character. So I wanted to show that even though he might act that way in certain situations, look how he acts in this situation. So you would be kind of forced to deal with the both sides of the character, that he could be the antagonist, but in this thing, and really all this kid wants to do, he's so focused on trying to help his mom out, who's having a good time. Like, so if somebody comes in, and I want to say, like, Daphne wasn't completely innocent. She did just come set up, like, with no warning. So, yeah, I thought he was, one of the things I wanted to prove, I guess, like, he kind of says at the end, like, you couldn't think of another way to do this. So it's not so much that Daphne was right for what she did, but the way you responded was so wrong. You went so far that it kind of, like, any reason you had is out the window, because it didn't deserve that kind of response. You know, so for you spying and and just treating her so bad. And so that was kind of one of the things I wanted to say about the character, too. I'm really about fair play and things like that. And, like, you know, equal force, equal measures and countermeasures and things like that. We shouldn't go so hard all the time just so we feel threatened. And so that was kind of, so that was all, yeah, very intentional. And just like, you know, I never got to see, I've read a lot of comic books. I'm 43. I've been reading comic books since 1985. And I've not seen too many very well-handled single mom and kid books. There's been some, but they're few and far between. And so I really want to do something like that, because it's just not something that's shown a lot. And as a Black guy, that's something that happens a lot in my community. And so it's something that's a familiar touch point for a lot of kids of color. Okay.
Thank you, Jared. And my last question for Jay is, Jay, I know that you work so hard at a full-time job already. Can you inspire us with how you're working on all these projects, how you have the energy and time and love for what you do, that you're able to work a full-time job and then do these projects? Because I read Lemonade Code a second time, keeping that in mind. And the whole time I was like, how did Jay do this? How did he work all day and then put so much love and detail into your artwork? Can you close it out and inspire us all, like children that are in school all day, but they want to work on this project that's outside of school, adults that maybe have a project that they want to do, but they're too tired when they get home? Can you share a little bit with us, please?
Yeah, you know, no pressure or anything, right? you know, given a little bit of backstory on, you know, creating Lemonade Code. So it's all started when I got the scripts back in like 2016, I believe, or the end of 2015, around that time, is when they came to me and said, hey, we want to do this book. And then I didn't even get the script actually until 2017. Throughout that entire time, I had a job that I was full-time in. And once I got that script, I was luckily able to go down to part-time. So, however, you know, that still didn't mean that, you know, I wasn't, you know, working a lot of hours. I was usually, I think at that point in time, I was working at a Whole Foods. And, you know, I was a cashier. And I had like at least between 20 and 30 hours a week. And I was able to talk to my supervisor, and we were able to have a deal where I would be off every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And during those days is when I would get the bulk of my work done. I, you know, would, and throughout the rest of the week, I would just, you know, try to time manage any, I would have like an hour or two here before I went to sleep, or maybe I would stay up because I didn't have to go to work until like 4 the next day or something like that. So I would do that constantly. And I worked on this book actually for about 2.5 to 3 years. I think overall, the entire process was about 4 years, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, while I was doing that, you know, I switched jobs from Whole Foods to, I actually started working at Disney at one point in time. When I was drawing caricatures. That was a very fun job, but it was really far away. And then after that, I was able to get another job. You know, I was working at Publix. And, you know, that's actually currently where I still work. At the time, I was still a cashier, and it was like right down my street. So I'll go there every single day. I was still able to have that same deal where I would be off every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And, you know, I, you know, got a lot of work that done that way. And then eventually, I think right before COVID began, I actually was able to change my position from cashier to now I'm a pharmacy tech, change department. And, you know, it's a lot better in terms of work hours and stuff. I get off a little bit earlier, or I don't have to go in as early, one of the two. And, you know, that has helped me, you know, be able to time manage a lot more. However, now I've been actually trying to change my schedule to where I go to sleep every day at 10 and I wake up at 3. So it's only 5 hours of sleep, which, I mean, it's productive, but it's not recommended. No. So, I mean, you know, like, just let me just say that just straight up. However, you know, it really depends on, I think, what you want to do and, you know, how much passion and how much drive you have to, like, make that one thing happen. And for me, I have loved drawing comics. I've loved drawing. I mean, you know, I don't think I'm dumb, but I do believe that, I mean, you know, I'm not good in anything else except for drawing. Like, I mean, you know what, as good as I am, I don't think I'm not like a rocket scientist. I'm not, you know, somebody that can fix a toilet, or you know, I'm not a plumber or electrician or anything of this sort. And I wish, looking back at my life, I probably would go into one of those, you know, trade jobs, because, you know, like, everybody needs guaranteed. That. Exactly. Everybody needs that. Like, that's something that everybody needs. You know, I like to entertain people. You know, I laugh a lot. I make jokes when I draw comic books. You know, I'm just a person that everybody, I guess, comes to, you know, have some type of entertainment factor. So I'm happy that I've been able to finally stick to my guns and, you know, make this happen. But it's a long road. And what I would say to anybody that, you know, wants to, you know, make their dream come true, whether it's, you know, drawing, or, you know, maybe making a YouTube channel, or, you know, maybe just doing a project around the house or whatever, it's small incremental progression is just as good as having big and like, you know, having big permission. I mean, you know, you can do one thing a day, even for an hour. And if you did that for an entire week, that's 7 hours that you've dedicated to this one thing. And that might not seem like a lot while you're doing it. But I mean, you know, definitely keep that mindset while you do things like this, because that is one definite way that, you know, that helped me not lose my sanity while I was drawing all of those crowds. Like, I would draw 5 or 7 people. And I'm like, I'm coming back to this tomorrow. So, I mean, you know, it's definitely, you just gotta, you know, just like trudge forward and, you know, keep on going. But yeah, that's what I would say to anybody that wants to do that. You know, keep on going. Don't give up. You know, whether you say you can or you can't, you are correct. So, you know, keep that in mind. And think about that, because it is very, very true. So thanks for listening to the Children Chatting
Podcast. Thanks for listening to the Children Chatting with Awful's podcast.